Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of For What It's Nerd. Today, we are here to discuss Wicked for Good. That is, of course, the part two of Wicked. And I actually just watched this today. So this was like earlier today, and I've let myself ruminate on what I think about this movie. And I want to say straight away that I don't think this movie is bad. I don't think it's by any means bad. Do I think it's as good as the first part? No, not at all. Now, before I go into that, I do want to say that I've not watched the stage production. I've never watched the stage production of Wicked, so I have no frame of reference other than I sort of know what happens in the story prior because I did some research that. So I wasn't struck by surprise by anything in the movie necessarily because I kind of knew where the plot line was going. But yeah, so let's keep that through that lens, that if I say something that maybe is true of the stage play or untrue of the stage play that is true of this movie, we're looking at the movie solely. We're looking at the movie solely. I'm discussing what I personally think would enhance the movie. Now, if that's the same, if they've been true to the source material, that's fair play. You guys let me know that. That's great. That's what discussion is. But I'm looking at the movie. So that's what we're doing today. So first off, I want to say, visually, technically, audibly, this movie was as good as the first. And across that board, I will say the same. I think, in fact, in some ways, I think this was maybe a bit more visually appealing, this second half, because there's a lot more of Oz in this one. There's a lot more of, I know it sounds stupid, but there's a lot more outfits that like you're kind of seeing on these characters, and you're kind of seeing, even down to like the way there's various states of like, the outfits reflecting the mood and reflecting what's going on and in certain scenes that kind of is very important. I'm thinking very much about the Fiero and Elphaba scene. You see them taking away the layers of the Wicked Witch, and you see Fiero taking away the layers of being the captain and the prince. And so like those things are there. And I think that those kind of the imagery stuff is really strong. Another great example is the visuals of the song where Glinda is singing within her apartment. Do we call it an apartment? About being in the bubble and being this kind of in this pink bubble, and the house emulates that bubble because she's looking down a corridor and it looks back at her, and then she looks up and it turns around and comes back down to her. She's trapped in this little apartment, and it was a really cool way of kind of talking about the fact that the state that she's in, that like not as in like her, but the state of Oz is controlling her, and the pink bubble is just an extension of that. And I really enjoyed that as well, the visuals there. There's some great visuals in this movie, even at the beginning, seeing the yellow brick road being built and something that is so hopeful in The Wizard of Oz being turned into this symbol of oppression by these ox, rhinoceros kind of things, paving the road. You know, it was very, there's a lot of symbolism in this movie, and it's really, really strong and really, really good. What I think this movie suffers with, and I think this is where I really didn't enjoy this movie as much as the first, is that the characters fall very flat in this movie because there's too much to do. There's too much time to account for in this movie for me. I think the runtime, not that I think the runtime should have been any longer, but I think the runtime needed to be longer if they were going to do anything in depth. And because of that, I feel like also I've just realized I have my logo showing for those watching on stream, not stream on YouTube. I usually don't have like a logo just thrown up, but I've just realized. Anyway, who cares? Just a logo on my shirt. I don't know if that's like bad. Is that bad for YouTube? Who cares? Sorry, train of thought moment. Yeah, so I think there's too much one-dimensional, there's too much character batting. You're batting back and forth a lot. And like, I feel like, obviously, Glinda and Elphaba get a good chunk of the story, which makes sense. They're the main characters. And Fiero, to a degree, gets some. Anyone outside of those three, one-dimensional, one note, really, in this movie. And I'm not saying those actors didn't do well in those roles. It was interesting seeing the way that they framed Nessa Rose in this. It was interesting the way that they kind of made the Tin Woodsman actually have no heart you know, when Bok turns into the Tin Man, he becomes cruel and callous. And I think that was quite an interesting way of doing that, especially that moment where he's talking to the crowd about wanting to kill the witch, right? So I get, I understand that there's some still good character work there, but I really feel like a lot of that fell flat otherwise. The fact that the reveal, and I don't know if this is true of the play, I don't know if this is how it happens in the play again, but the fact that the reveal of the wizard being Elphaba's father is kind of like a side note in the story is actually fascinating to me, considering, you know, that's usually like, you know, a look at one of the biggest tropes in fiction. Luke, is it that the line? I forget how it goes. No, I am your father. That's it. Sorry. No, I am your father. Is that right? It's that Mandela effect creeping in. Anyway, basically Vader announcing to Luke that he's his father is the main plot point of that movie. And I'm not saying that that needs to be the case in Wicked. I understand that it's sort of, it's meant to be a revelationary moment for the wizard that he's done wrong in a way that it could only hurt him in that way at that time, if that makes sense. He couldn't have been hurt really in the same way by that earlier in the movie. So I understand that is why they've done it the way they have. But I struggle with that because it feels almost like you're taking something away from Elphaba, that kind of recognition of what's happened here to her, that even like her full family was cruel, you know, like even her father, her real father, was as bad as her essentially adoptive father, not adoptive, but like her father that raised her is as bad as the father that's her biological father. So I think there's other ways that I personally would have maybe done that. But yeah, so I think in that way, I really struggle with the movie because I feel like in number one, in the first part, there was a lot more time to kind of sit with these characters, just sitting with them in the dorm, talking about their feelings, just sitting with them as they learn how to like each other. You're sitting with them as Glinda goes from being Galinda, this kind of self-absorbed person, to this less of that, still somewhat, but not as much. And as Elphaba grows to be this person who cares about the world around her and isn't just about herself and being insular, but about helping these people and doing the right thing. And Fiero, who grows from being this carefree person to, like, those things happened a lot more in the first movie. And in the second movie, it feels like they're trying to sort of thrust these emotions for these characters upon you because it's done so quickly, right? I actually saw a bit of Twitter discourse just before I started this about the fact that there's a flashback of all of these characters: Nessa Rose, Bok, Fiero, Elphaba, and Glinda all being in this kind of field, having a deeper relationship than the first movie showed. And I actually think that was sort of hilarious, considering the fact that like these characters don't even feel like they care about each other in the second half sometimes. Obviously Glinda and Elphaba being different in that. But I really struggle with that. I also feel like some of the things that were happening in the movie were too flippant. Again, if this happens to the player, that's fine. But the fact that it feels out of character to me for Elphaba to I get that they have to kind of follow I get that Wicked as a piece of fiction, as a piece of stage, as a piece of, you know, all of that, goes from the Wizard of Oz, right? So anything that happens in the Wizard of Oz has to be accounted for in some way, right? The actual Wizard of Oz story. But what I struggle with that is that, like, this Elphaba that you learn to like in the first Wicked movie, and then you're learning to like throughout the second of Wicked for Good, and then she gets angry at Dorothy for stealing some shoes. And not that she can't be upset about Nessa Rose's death, but she doesn't seem all that upset about Nessa Rose's death she's not even there for Nessa Rose's death. I feel like that was kind of an anticlimactic. It felt like everything in this movie was anticlimactic. And the fact that Nessa Rose dies, and then then even though it was quite funny, admittedly, but Glinda and Elphaba start having a cat fight that's played for laughs, that was funny. It was funny, especially Ariana Grande's physical humor during that was hilarious. But it felt weird. It feels very stilted a lot of the time in this movie for me personally. So yeah, I that's something I struggle with. I also struggle with, and I think musically this movie was again as good as the other. Except it wasn't as catchy maybe for me. Like I didn't feel like the kind of penultimate. Not penultimate, the ultimate song with I don't know the actual name of the track, but like Change for Good, I assume that's what it's called. That was really great. I was bawling at that. That was a really great scene. I think that was probably one of the best scenes in the movie. I did enjoy the pink bubble one that I was talking about before as well. But other than that, it felt like we got like riffs of songs from the first half. And because these two were filmed back to back as well, of course, was bound to happen to a degree. And they're trying to call back to things that happened in the first movie. And also they're trying to kind of tie in those character moments for the first movie, because there's a few flashbacks in here that are just basically scenes from the first movie again. But I felt like so often in this movie, it was like three or four lines of music and then they'd stop. There wasn't a full song. You didn't have a time for a number about Popular, you know, where Glinda's going through the corridor, you know, or essentially, right? So like, I struggle with it. I struggle with the movie. I think ultimately, is it like my top 10 movie of all time? No. Am I as obsessed with this movie and this music as I was the last time around? No. Do I think it was still a sound movie? Do I still think it was made well? Yes. I think actually something that I was talking about ahead of this movie was that I feel like this hasn't been even promoted as much as the first time around. And I don't know if that's something that I'm kind of biased to as well. Am I not as excited because I haven't felt like I've been sitting alongside these characters for maybe a month ahead of the premiere of this? It feels almost like all of the effort went into the first half of this production, and the second half was kind of like, yeah, we'll do that too. I don't know how true that is. Probably isn't true at all, but it felt that way. It felt like we really haven't got that kind of like build up in the way that the last one did. So I think overall, what I'm trying to say is that this movie, technically, sound, and in fact theoretically should be as enjoyable as the first, but for me, being someone who really likes those character moments, really likes to sit with characters for a bit, you know, some of my favorite TV or movies is where you have characters who have like a big dialogue scene, and it felt like everything was like 2 minutes and then it's done and moving on in this. And so I think I really struggled with that as a concept. And also again, some of the logic flaws in the movie I really struggled with as well. Another example being Elphaba just going to the wizard, and then suddenly she's holding hands with him and doing a dance number again. And I get it's a musical, and I get that there's some kind of, you have to have some suspension of disbelief, but I was struggling with it this time around because it felt like, I don't know, I felt like Elphaba should have been more of a presence, more hurt and angered by what had gone on. But she swears she's going to do no more good deeds, and then she's, pretty much everything she does in the movie is good deeds. So it's a struggle for me, but I did enjoy it. I do feel like at the end of it, there's some good to take away. That again, that last musical number was really, really good. So what I'm trying to say is, basically at the end of the day, is it's a sound movie. It's a good movie, just not mine. Good movie. Just not what I typically like in a movie. You know, other people I'm sure will go and say they like this one more than the first, maybe. Maybe even because there's a through line of the Wizard of Oz in this one. Of course, it's a lot more close to the original plot. I actually didn't love that either. And I feel like I'm kind of adding things on here as we go, because I keep thinking about the things I can say. So sorry about that. It sounds like I'm going to wrap up, but then I'm not. I know that this is probably how it is in the play, and I understand why it's that way, because you don't want the story to shift from Elphaba and Glinda to Dorothy. But the fact that Dorothy was such a non-part of this movie was really weird to me. because it's I don't feel like I gained anything from this movie being like Lion King 1.5. And by that I mean like Timon and Pumbaa's sort of story, and you're seeing sort of snippets of Simba walking off and snippets of Simba over here. Or it almost felt like, do you know when you get like, or used to get loads of TV shows that like used to say, oh my gosh, X celebrity is here, and it wasn't actually X celebrity, it was a stand-in and they were hidden from camera, or they were like, you get their shoulder, or like you get like their like for them from the back. Like I remember specifically, I don't know why, an episode of The Golden Girls where the president comes, but it's not the president is like, or is it Michael Jackson's in it as well at one point? But like, it's not actually them. It's like someone from behind, or like you see them just leaving. Like that's what Dorothy felt like on this movie. And again, they didn't want to make it feel like she was important to the movie, but I feel like some of those really important, like pathos-driven emotional scenes could have been. Even like at least the one where she throws the water on Elphaba, like at least that, like I don't know, I feel like it's like you know, the kind of cutaways from the main cast of the Wizard of Oz, so to speak, was somewhat frustrating to me. Again, that might be different in the play, but I feel like it would have added a little bit more to us to kind of like there's a line at the end of the movie where Glinda's basically saying that she sort of found Dorothy annoying in a way. Because she's saying like, oh, there's always something going on with that girl. It's sort of true, actually. But I feel like if we kind of could be in on that joke, you know, it feels like something was left on the cutting room floor. It feels like we're seeing things not quite as they could be. Do you know what I mean? So for me, that's my thoughts. That's my feelings. That's my opinion. Sorry. I don't know why that came to my. That's like that old meme. I don't know why it came to my head. But yeah, so we're gonna leave it there. I think I'm rambling a little bit. But what I think ultimately is yay for cinema, yay for me. I think that's a fair assessment of Wicked for good. So with that, guys, I will see you guys in the next one. I don't know what we're talking about next week. I haven't got anything on the docket necessarily at the moment, but I'm sure something will pop up, as it so often does. We're running to the end of the year now, so we will probably have, and I think this is worth saying, that we will probably have less episodes this year than previous years, just because it's been kind of one of those, it's been a slower year in my opinion, movies wise, but we'll see if it maybe picks up near the end. You never know what kind of a trailer could drop, and then we could be talking about it tomorrow, who knows. Depends on the trailer, depends on the time I have. But yeah, so thank you guys for watching as always, thank you guys for listening as always, and I will see you guys next week for more for What It's Nerd. Until then, have a great rest of your week. I'll see you later. Bye guys.